Good morning. Glad to see everyone here on this beautiful Lord's Day. I'd like to welcome any visitors. Glad to have you. There are questions that matter greatly in this life. Questions that will affect your career, family, finances, and your future on earth. But there's one question that arises above every other question a person will ever face. And that question is, who do you say that I am? Or who do you say Jesus is? There are too many who go around proclaiming his name but not doing the things that he commands. And at that point, I would say you don't know him. And it's something that we need to change. Because the world has many opinions about Jesus. In Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, saying, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Of course, they won't deny that he was different and powerful. But guess what? They're still wrong on who he is. Who he was. The answers they gave were respectful ones. They were honorable ones and religious ones. They all, during the time of Christ, had opinions. But public opinion was not divine revelation. It is possible to admire Jesus, but not know him. In John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. It is possible to speak respectfully of Jesus and still reject who he truly is. It is possible to use his name and still deny his authority. The God of this creation, the creator of all things, came into his own creation and they did not know him. You know, we look at animals and they know who their master is. Donkeys, cattle, sheep, whatever it may be, dogs, cats, they all know their master. And they will only come, unless you're a golden retriever, I've learned that. Golden retrievers make friends with everyone. But they know their master, do we? Or do we just simply proclaim we know him, but our hearts are far from him? Even today, Jesus' name is widely used, but not always rightly used. Many want a Jesus who comforts, but does not command. They want a Jesus who forgives but does not judge. They want a Jesus who saves but does not rule. They want a Jesus who blesses but does not demand obedience. What they have done is painted a portrait of Jesus that is false. It has become an idol. It has become something they just admire but not follow or obey. The world may have many opinions about Jesus, but there's only one answer that is true. So what does Jesus demand? He demands a personal confession. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" He turns from the crowd to now his disciples. And he asked them a very personal question. Who do you say that I am? It doesn't matter what your parents, spouse, children, elders, and friends say. It does not matter. There comes a point when borrowed faith is not enough. You know, children, they grow up hearing about Jesus. People may sit in a sound congregation for years, and the person may know all the Bible facts from childhood. And these are great blessings, sure. Yes, absolutely. But at some point, each person must personally come to conviction. They must come to conviction. Knowing all the Bible facts will not save you. Sitting here Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, for years on out, will not save you. And just simply hearing about Jesus alone will not save you. Because notice how Peter answered in the next verse, in verse 16 of Matthew 16. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Two foundational truths here that Peter confesses. Jesus is the Christ, and Jesus is the Son of the living God. And what we know about Peter is that he not only confessed it, but he was convicted, and he went forth living that conviction, living as Christ was the Messiah and the Son of the living God. In John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31, "Therefore many other signs Jesus also did in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." Here is the very center of biblical faith: to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But biblical faith responds, obeys, and yields to Christ. Without those three ingredients, it's not biblical faith. Without those three ingredients, you do not know Christ. You simply proclaim His name. And so what does the right answer do? Well, it changes everything. After Peter's confession in verse 17, this is what Jesus said. "And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.'" Peter was blessed because he had come to the truth God had revealed. Of course, we need to keep in mind, when we see the word Scripture in the text, they're referring to the Old Testament. They did not have the New Testament. And so this is crucial, because the true identity of Jesus is not discovered by human wisdom alone. Because once again, as we see, His own creation did not know Him. And they still proclaim to be wise. And there are people who proclaim to be wise but don't know who Jesus is. That's not wisdom, that's foolishness. Human philosophy, public opinion, and religious tradition cannot save us. There's this guy, he's a pastor, but he was teaching a human philosophy class. It was called Philosophy 101. And he said, what made me laugh was, after the class had ended, my former students would come to me and just act like they knew everything because they had Philosophy 101. He had to quickly humble them. They questioned Scripture, they questioned God's Word, and he had to humble them. The only way we truly know Christ is through His revealed word and by obeying it, by doing it. As James tells us, not to only be hearers, but to be doers of His word. It changes how we view salvation. John 14:6. "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Then Acts chapter 4, verse 12. "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." What does this mean? It means that Jesus is not one option among many. He is not one religious path among a collection of valid paths. Jesus is the only way to the Father. Jesus is the only way to have salvation. And any other religion, any other God, and they're not true gods, they won't get you to the Father. They won't get you to heaven. It changes how we view obedience. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." He has all authority. Authority over worship, morality, marriage, the church, our body, our tongue, our mind, our priorities, our future. He has all authority. Let's put it in simple terms. It's His way or the highway. And that highway leads to destruction. If we're not obeying the one who has all authority, then we're lost. We don't know Him. Changes how we view the church. The church belongs to the Christ whom Peter confessed. If the church says we belong to man or has man's name, bears man's name, I don't want it. I'm good. It's not the church. The church is not built on human personalities, human tradition, and denominations invented by men. It was built on Christ. It changes how we view eternity. John chapter 8, verse 24. "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." This should sober people up. This is not a casual question. It's not a theoretical question. It's not a classroom-only question. It is an eternal question. Because if Jesus is who He claimed to be, then rejecting Him is fatal. So the question is, who do you say that Jesus is? That's what we need to do. That's what we need to think about this morning. Simply just proclaiming Christ doesn't mean you know Him. Simply just saying, "Well, I read my Bible every day and night," won't save you if you don't know Jesus. You know, it's possible to read your Bible and not know Him. How do you get to know Him? You study, you look, you see, and you obey. We have too many who use His name widely but truly don't know Him. And for them, it's sin. For them, they're lost. If we don't get to know Jesus, then sadly, there are going to be many who hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And I'll tell you, I for one don't want to see anyone hear those words. I don't want to see any. I want to see everyone go to heaven. I want to see everyone hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But if you don't know Him, and that means by believing and obeying, then you're going to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So what's your answer this morning? Who do you say Jesus is? What does it say about, what does your answer say about your life? If you really don't know, and it's not good, then you need to reflect, you need to see that there needs to be a true change. So if you're not a Christian this morning, I pray and hope that you do come to the conclusion that Jesus is the Lord, your Lord and Savior, that you confess it, but most importantly, that you believe and obey. And this is how you obey. You must hear the word, Romans 10:17. Then you must believe it, Mark 16:15 and 16. But then you must repent, which means change. You're no longer going to be the same person you were. You're changing to be right with God, to turn back to Him and to go to Him. And then you must confess your faith in Christ once again, not just confessing before brothers and sisters. That's important as well. But to confess Him before men, because Christ, in His own words, says, "Those who confess me before men, I will confess before my Father. Those who deny me before men, I will deny before my Father." We must confess our faith in Christ. But it doesn't stop there. We must be immersed for the forgiveness of our sins. We must be immersed. It's all throughout the New Testament, the Scriptures. When we are put in that water, our old self, our old life is being put to death. And the blood of Christ washes away our sins. And when we raise out of that water, we are now walking in newness of life. But it doesn't stop there. We must remain faithful. And that faith is trust. It's an active faith. It's a faith that leads us to obey, that leads us to live for Christ every day, surrendering to Him daily, doing as He has told us what to do. To not just be hearers, but to be doers. But if you were a Christian, you have fallen away. You have gone astray. Good news is you still have time to make things right, to be reconciled to God. But you must come and repent and to be reconciled to Him, to turn back to Him. If you're here this morning and you need assistance, come forward as we stand and as we sing.